Well, good morning, Sebastopol Christian Church. Praise God. It's good to be in this place out of the freezing cold. Why don't we stand this morning? Let's just go ahead and open up our service, telling about the amazing grace of our great God and King who's given us grace. That's amazing. Amen. 2, 3, 4. All right, you all know this one. Let's sing it. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Amen. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Thank you, Lord. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Amen. All you've done for us, Lord. Here we go. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, yeah, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Yeah! Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Oh yeah, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. Yeah, this is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Thank you, Lord, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. Amazing grace.
Woo! All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church on this last Sunday of 2018. Can you believe that? We are saying goodbye to the old year and saying hello to the new year. And it's good to have Mike McKenna leading worship with us again. It's also good to have a young person in the congregation with us that we want to introduce. You guys know about Kathy McCarty and our work in Zimbabwe and Chittimoyo Christian Mission Hospital. One of her major co-workers is Major Medici, and his daughter, Carolyn, is here with us today. Carolyn, is that you? Welcome. She is going to Kentucky Christian University, and she's here on holiday. So we welcome you to worship today with us. Hey, I wanted to let you guys know that we are a family. We're a community of hope-filled followers of Jesus who help bring others into a growing relationship with Christ. So whether you're here with us live or you're watching with us live stream via the internet, we hope and trust this is going to be a great place together where we can explore and grow in our Christian faith. Hey, I want to let you know, we want to connect with you not just on Sunday morning, but all during the week. So in your program, and I hope you got one of these as you came in, on the back of the program, there's ways to connect with us via social media. We've got Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and we've got a PushPay account if you want to do electronic giving anytime during the week if Sunday doesn't work for you. Also, if you're a guest with us, we'd love for you to fill out this welcome card because we have a gift for you. We have this travel mug that says our church name on it for hot drinks in December. This is great for that, and we'd love for you to fill that out. We'll have a gift for you at the back of the church right after the service. Right now, we're going to turn and greet one another on this frosty morning. All right. You guys get ready for the next set? No intention there. No. All right, everybody, if you guys could please finish up that conversation and find your seat. We've got some announcements for the church body. 2019 is just around the corner. It's in 2 days, and we are going to start a brand new message series. The new message series is called At the Movies. We're going to look for themes of the gospel message in various movies, and it's going to be, and I'm going to say this pun intended and foreshadowing intended when I say this, it's going to be a wonderful experience. Now, you guys have to guess what the movie is for this coming week that we're going to look at. That starts again on this Sunday, and this is one of those series where you can invite somebody to attend, and it's going to be like Is this church? You guys watch movies in church? We're not going to watch the whole movie, but we're going to watch some of the movie themes, and then we're going to talk about it from God's perspective and the Christian perspective. So that's coming up a week from today. We start that new series. Also, you remember, like Lisa was saying, about 3 weeks ago when we had that wonderful soup and bread fundraiser, that helped prepare a number of high school kids to be able to go to winter camp. And they're leaving for winter camp this Thursday. So they're going to be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Please be praying for those youth. Every year so far, this is the third year I've been here, Luke Sanders, our youth pastor, comes back and he says that at least one of the high schoolers made a decision to follow Christ that during that camp. So we're praying that that happens. Be praying for those guys. Save the date. We've got another family movie night coming. It's coming on Friday night, January 18th. So it's going to be in about 3 weeks at 6 p.m. right here in this very room. It's going to be right here. And it's going to be The Prince of Egypt. So if you have family, kids, you can all show up for that. We're going to have popcorn and drinks and the whole shebang coming on Friday the 18th. The day after that, the next morning on the 19th, Saturday at 9 a.m., not 8 a.m., thanks to the deacons, we're going to have our men's breakfast. And so men, if you're ready to attend that, you think of somebody you want to bring to that, we're going to have a special guest speaker. He's a wonderful guy. His name is Greg Corby. Some of you guys may know who that is. So Greg Corby's going to be speaking at that. So those are all the announcements right now. Let's get right to it. If you wouldn't please stand again, we're going to continue our worship.
Amen, amen. It's great to be with you guys this morning. Maybe you've heard the song on, this is a new song I want to introduce to you. If you listen to K-Love at all, or if you listen to Chris Tomlin, he's been doing a song called Resurrection Power. So hopefully it's a little bit familiar to you, and we'll learn it together as we go. Amen. You call me from the grave by name. You call me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus, you have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom. I'm dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. I see my past has been redeemed. The new has come. Oh, now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus, you have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom. Freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone, and freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. And freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone, yeah. Given us freedom, you have given us freedom. Oh, hallelujah. resurrection power. Living on the inside, now no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom. Now I have resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. Now no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom. One more time. Well, now I have resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your freedom, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you like that one? It actually goes a little bit longer, but it gets real involved. So I wanted to teach it. It starts going all over the place. Okay. But this morning we're so blessed, you know, in this Christmas season and thinking about Jesus coming. And there was a purpose in his coming, right? The purpose was to give his life. And when we think about communion coming up and as we prepare for that in our hearts, I want to do this song called Living Hope, and really that's what he is for us. I mean, you know, what kind of hope does the world give? It's empty. But Jesus came that we would have a hope that was full and alive, a living hope for us, for all eternity. So as we sing this morning, just you know, prepare your hearts, I pray. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Sing it again. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living home. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Let's sing that again. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Yeah. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. One more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh my God, you are my living hope.
Is our living hope. He has broken every chain by his death on the cross for our sins, and we have new life and hope in him. You may be seated. Those of you who are about to serve communion, please come forward and prepare at this time. This is a time in our Jesus gathering here this morning where we celebrate communion, and at our church we do this every Sunday. We do this because Jesus said, as often as you take communion or the Eucharist or whatever you call it, the Lord's Supper, sometimes it's referred to. As often as you do this, we do this in remembrance of Christ. We do this in remembrance of him because of what Jesus did for us. I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, on the night of the Passover. When they were celebrating that Passover meal, Jesus stood among them, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." You know, we're coming to the end of an old year and we're starting a new year. And I love the concept of new, because God is all over this idea of new in the Bible, in his revelation to us. It says in Ezekiel chapter 36, God says that he's promising to take people who are dead in sin, and he says he's going to put a new heart and a new spirit in his people. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, a new commandment, that you love one another." This is the new covenant that we celebrate every time we take communion, the new covenant signed by Jesus himself. And at the end of the Bible, at the end of the scriptures, when God brings everything together on the lordship of Christ, and the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus says in that moment when he's bringing down the new heaven and the new earth, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." Jesus loves new. He loves renewing the old, broken, dead things in our hearts. He loves bringing that new forgiveness and that life and that second chance. And communion reminds us of that it's not that we've earned anything before God. It's not that we've merited anything. It's what Jesus has done for us. So the way we practice this in our church is our ushers will serve communion to you. You can remain in your seats. If you have a relationship with Christ and you want to partake as the elements are passed, you just take a piece of bread and you take a cup, and you'll have a quiet time of meditation and prayer to do that on your own. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to honor you because you've broken every chain. You've set us free. You've given your life for us. And Lord, because of that, we have this new relationship, a right relationship with our Creator God through you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we honor you this morning. We pray that our hearts would be made anew. We would examine ourselves. We would look upon our past and confess anything we need to confess. And we would look to you to guide us and lead us toward a great 2019. These things we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for these quiet moments of reflection where we realize the depth of your great love for us and the desire you have to commune with us, that you're willing to sit down and eat with whoever wants to sit down and eat with you. And thank you for that privilege that we have because of our faith and our trust in you. Lord, we pray that at the end of this year, Lord, we would honor you with our lives, with our testimony, with the way we live, with what we do with our finances, Lord. We want to honor you in all things. We want to seek first your kingdom And Lord, we want to see your kingdom grow and flourish through the ministry of our church here at Sebastopol Christian. So, Lord, we pray for generosity and we pray for blessing. And in your name we pray. Amen. Since I've already given the announcements, I'm just going to jump right into the message of 2019. So I just want to remind you of a couple things. You remember last week we had Jackie Tisthammer 2, as we say. If you know, she has a mother-in-law named Jackie Tisthammer as well. So the younger Jackie, Jackie the younger, she gave our communion meditation last week. And she talked about she and Troy going to St. Louis, Missouri for the big InterVarsity Urbana Conference, where there's going to be 15 or 20,000 college students from all over the country. And that's happening there right now because they left for that on the 26th. And so we need to keep those young people in our prayers, because sometimes those young people are going to make decisions for Christ. They're going to make decisions about their future, their career, their ministry that could affect their life, and also the lives of thousands of other people, depending on what they decide. So we keep them in our prayers, and then we can also pray for the high schoolers. So bow with me for one more prayer, please. Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do in the lives of thousands of college students there, thinking about Urbana, thinking about multitudes of young late teenagers, early 20-somethings gathered from all over the country, all over these college campuses, 22 people from Sonoma State University and more from Santa Rosa Junior College. God, we're excited about what you could do in their hearts and their lives as you call them to serve you, as you call them into radical discipleship where they live fully for you and they get involved in your kingdom work. And Lord, we pray that you would have your way and your will would be accomplished in every one of those young people's lives. And Lord, we look forward to the stories that are going to come in the years to come because of what you did in those days there in St. Louis in the end of 2018. Lord, we pray for our high schoolers too, going with Luke to Hume Lake Winter Camp this coming weekend. Lord, we pray your blessing on them. We pray you give them safety in their travels. Lord, we pray that you would open up those young teenagers' hearts and minds to what you want to say to them, to your will for their lives. And Lord, if any of them doesn't know you as their Savior, as the one who could forgive them and give them a brand new life, Lord, we pray that they would turn their lives over to you in saving faith this weekend, not just from our church, Lord, but from youth groups and churches all over California. God, please do a wonderful work at Hume Lake this coming weekend, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for it. Lord, right now, as I speak, Lord, I don't want it just to be my words. I want it to be your words. So I pray for the ability to be filled with your Holy Spirit and to speak with passion and clarity. And God, for all those who are listening, Lord, give us ears to hear and a mind to understand and a heart to obey what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I am excited to share this message with you this morning as we say goodbye to the old year, 2018, and we're going to be saying hello to a new year, 2019. I just wanted to do a quick review of 2018 with you. Most of the important things that happened in 2018 are sports, if you didn't know that. So just so you know, Philadelphia Eagles were the Super Bowl champs. The Alabama Crimson Tide were the college champs, and of course they won last night. They beat the Oklahoma Sooners, and Alabama is going to the National College Championship in San Francisco, like in about 9 days from now. I think it's on, or 8 days from now. Pardon me? They're going to play Clemson. Yep, the Clemson Tigers. That must be your must be your team, Holly. But here's the great news on that. My son-in-law, Craig Olson, who's now preaching this morning at Bayside Folsom, so I'm excited that he's preaching his first message there since he's come on staff. He has a friend who works in corporate offices for Chick-fil-A, and Craig has been an Alabama Crimson Tide fan for like 20 years. And Craig is so excited because his friend got him a ticket, and they're going to the national championship game. First time ever that Craig is going to see his team, Alabama, live, playing at Levi's Stadium for the National College Championship. So win or lose, may the best team win. Roll Tide. Okay. Did you hear me say Roll Tide? Okay. I was trying to practice self-control, and I couldn't do it. So anyway, Winter Olympics happened in February. My favorite moment was Shaun White had his big comeback in the snowboarding, jumping competition, whatever that's called. Hockey, who cares? Well, somebody does, but Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup. Golden State Warriors, of course, were the NBA champs, looking to 3-peat again in 2019. Villanova were the college champs, the World Cup soccer champs in June and July. France won over Croatia. And not that long ago, the Boston Red Sox beat the LA Dodgers. Hey, anybody who beats the Dodgers is all right with me. So they're the World Series champs. So that's details as far as sporting goes. And as far as the rest of the news, well, all you really need to know is that our country is still very divided, very partisan, almost like 50-50 down the middle. And we're praying for unity. We're praying for graciousness. We're praying for understanding. We're praying for that command that Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, to spill out into social media and into the news feeds and all over, because we really do need to come together again as a nation. Amen. Oh, and by the way, there was this awesome wedding in May where Prince Harry married Meghan Markle, and now they're expecting a baby. So that is a radical distillation of news in 2018. Because I want to get to the message, and it's a pretty full message. I want to talk to you today about picture you in 5 years, not just 1 year. You know, a lot of people talk about a New Year's message and they say, hey, what do you want to be? What do you want to do in 2019? How is it going to be different for you than 2018? I want to expand that. I don't want to just talk about 1 year in the future. I want to talk about 5 years into the future. You in 5 years. Think of you 5 years now. The year would be the end of 2023. Doesn't that sound futuristic to you? Like something out of Star Wars or the Avengers, or if you're old enough, the Jetsons. Can't you get Rosie to do your housework for you by now? 2023, take that little trip with me in the future and imagine if you could picture your own birthday party in 5 years and what big number that would be up on the cake. Probably have to call the fire department for some of us, for all the candles, picturing yourself. You know, right now, my wife and I are slightly older than 50. All right, truth is, come clean, fine, we're in our mid-50s. And if we come to the end of 5 years, we're both going to be around the age of 60. And that's going to be exciting for us. I'm looking forward to that next decade of our life because of our grandkids. Our grandkids by then are going to be 11 and 9. We've got a new granddaughter on the way, going to be born in March, so she's going to be close to 5 years old, and we may even have a new grandchild by then that we don't even know about. So I am excited about the future for those possibility of the news. I'm not sure whether or not you're excited about the next 5 years of your life. We were having our prayer meeting, and I was with some of our people praying, and they're getting up in years, and they said, you know, I may be in heaven in 5 years. So that's a possibility too, but you know, at the very least, all those aches and pains and the hard things that it is to be an older person as our bodies age and wear down, at the very least, you're going to get a brand new body in heaven, and it's going to be awesome. And you're going to be with the Lord forever through Jesus Christ. So I hope you are excited about the next season of your life and that you believe that God has already gone before you to help guide you into the next, not just the new year, but the next 5 years. So I think sometimes when it comes to the new year and we think about all the changes we want to make, all our hopes for transformation, how 2019 somehow we can make better than 2018, I think the problem sometimes is we think too small. We think too small. And here's a nugget of wisdom. And number one, sometimes I think we do this. We overestimate what we can do in the short term. We come out with our list of here's what I'm going to do in 2019. Here's what I'm going to accomplish. Here's the relationships I'm going to have. And here's how I want my finances and all this stuff. And we overestimate what we can do in the short term. Of course, most of our New Year's resolutions, they go out the window by about the end of January. You realize that, right? Most of it's like 90% true. I had these great goals by January 1, and by the end of January, most of them are by the wayside. So we overestimate what we can do in the short term, but here's the good news. Most of us underestimate what we can do in the long term. We underestimate what we could actually accomplish if we just stuck with it. If we just stick to it, we could accomplish some amazing things. And here's part of the trouble, and I'm putting myself in this boat. Trouble is, so many of us have these tragically short attention spans. The stick-to-itness is evaporating from our society. It's evaporating especially in younger generations, millennials and youngers, and even in some of us older generations. Because what happens? When we're not happy anymore, we jump ship. We bail out the moment that we're not ecstatic or excited about something anymore. And sometimes we just don't stay with anything long enough to really see any significant impact. That's even true in church ministry. And I don't know if you knew this about pastors, but the average stay of a pastor in a local church now is about 3 years. The average stay of a youth pastor in a church is about 18 months to 2 years. So we're already ahead of the game with Luke, and in a good way. How can you really make an impact? And here's the question for pastors. How can you really make an impact in a church or in that community or anyone's life if you don't give yourself long enough time to be able to hit your stride? I wonder if the same isn't true in many situations and certainly relationships in many areas of life. We overestimate what we can do in the short term, but we underestimate what we can do in the long term if we just stick with it. That's the heart behind this message. Picture yourself in 5 years. We're not just going to start a new year going, okay, here's what's on the line between me and 2019. Here's what I'm going to do in the next 12 months. No, we're going to think bigger than that. We're going to go out in a longer. We're going to go out further, not just 1 year, but 5 years. And we're going to say, we're going to ask this question, who or what could I be by the time it's 2023? Here's your little ditty. Here's your little rhyme. Who could I be by 2023? Right? If I get after it, if I give it all I've got, if I trust God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who's for me and not against me, the God who gave me his son Jesus, who gave me his Holy Spirit, who could I be 60 months from now? That's the question I want to address today. You in 5 years. Now, one way to think about 5 years ahead of time is go back 5 years and think about where you were in 2013. 2013, it doesn't even seem like that long ago, but it was 5 years ago. Where were you? What were you doing? Where did you live? What job did you have? I didn't even know most of you people in 2013. What was different about your relationships? You know, 5 years is a long time, but it's enough time to accomplish quite a bit. I sat down this week and I just got to thinking with my imagination what somebody could do if they gave serious effort to their lives and their goals for a five-year plan. And man, you know what I did? I made two lists. One was positive and one was negative. And I say that because it can be a real positive list if you choose the right path to go down. It can be a really negative list if you make some bad choices and you continue along a wrong path. But let's start with the positive side, okay? Let's start with some good things you can accomplish. If you really wanted to in 5 years, you could be fluent in a new language. Think about it. I mean, if you could just say, okay, I want to learn a language. I want to learn French. I want to know what Kevin's sister meant when she said, you are what the people of French say, les incompétents. You know, what does that mean, right? So you want to learn things like that. You want to learn, you know, what's that perfume? What are all the French perfumes? How do you even pronounce it? Yves Saint Laurent. You know, how do you even pronounce these words? If you wanted to, you could learn French in 5 years. And now it's easier than it's ever been. This morning early, I downloaded a new app on my phone. You know, it's one of your goals. Okay, do some better things, you know. Quit watching cats on YouTube, you know, and spending all your time doing that, and maybe do something productive. So I downloaded an app called Duolingo, and it's so simple. You can spend 5 minutes a day learning a language, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. They've got four levels of how serious you want to be, and it's all video based. So all you got to do is look at the picture, and you look at a cat, you say, Le Chat, Le Chat. You know, Leum, Leum for the man. Mary, you already look French, so you'd probably master it. So that's awesome. So you could learn French if you really wanted to. You know, there used to be a day, and I don't know if you knew this was true. In Europe, it's still very true. There used to be a day when it wasn't that uncommon to meet somebody who spoke more than one language. Now, most of us only speak 75% of one language. In 5 years, if you wanted to, you could be speaking another language. Now, honestly, you know, I've already learned Spanish, so I don't need to learn that anymore. I need to get better at it. But so that's why I chose French or Italian or some other language. But if you wanted to learn a new language and you only spoke English, I'd totally recommend Spanish to you. Because in California, that's just where we're going. That's where we are, and that's where we're going. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9. And what I want to say to you about language learning is bridge building. Language learning is bridge building, because when you learn a new language, you are building a bridge to be able to communicate with somebody else who otherwise you wouldn't be able to communicate with. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some of them. Paul, whatever he did, he was always trying to build bridges to people. He said, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. To the Gentiles, I became like a Gentile. And he did that because he was trying to reach them. He was trying to reach other people. 5 years, you could learn a language if you really wanted to. In 5 years, you could develop some really practical skills. And I'm thinking of Raul Guerra when I say this, because he's one of my heroes in this area. You could learn some real practical skills. You could learn how to build things. You could learn how to fix things. You know how I fix things? Hey, Raul, can you come over? And he's helped me many times over the last couple of years. But you could, if you really wanted to, learn how to fix things. You could learn how to be a fairly competent handyman or a handywoman. You could learn how to install things. You could learn how to read those directions and actually follow them. It'd be pretty amazing. Here's another thing. In 5 years, you could get a degree. You could get a degree in some academic field if you really wanted to. You could say, this is it. I'm going to get a degree. I'm going to go back to school. Yeah, I think most of us, you know, we got through high school in 4 years. If you got through high school in 4 years, some of you weren't even hardly paying attention. You could probably get a degree in 5 years if you really wanted to. You could have a whole different world of opportunity open up to you if you took advantage of it. And hopefully the credentials of whatever field that you go into, that would be able to open some doors of opportunity for you to get a marketable skill, to figure out what you love to do and then do it and actually find people to pay you to do what you love to do because you have a marketable skill. God gave you something that you're really good at. So if you figure out that you can get to a place where people to pay you, they'll pay you to do that, then you'll figure out something to do so well they'll actually listen to you. You'll have expertise in an area. And it's not in just the industry you want to be in. If you're not in there now, in 5 years you could be if you really dedicated yourself to do that. So that's what I mean when I say sometimes we underestimate what we could accomplish in 5 years if we just stuck to it. You know, in 5 years, if you wanted to, you could master a sport. If you're not a runner, you could take up running, and you could run a half marathon in 5 years or a marathon. You could take up tennis. You could take up bowling. I know some people who have done that. These guys are buying their bowling balls now and their bowling shoes. Their model in life is Falk dressing, and they're saying, someday I'm going to get to be like that guy if I just keep working at it. 5 more years and 3 injuries for Falk, we might catch him. So there's a possibility there. You could start to play chess and become better in that. You could play a musical instrument if you dedicated yourself to learn that in 5 years. If you're disciplined in the area of finances, if you have a goal of saving to buy something of value, you could, how could you possibly do that? If you just saved $1 a day, this is the idea. If you just save $1 a day, in 5 years you'll have $1,825. For saving a dollar a day. Half a cup of Starbucks brew, a small. Not even, you know, my brother, he's wrong now because the way he speaks about it, he speaks of it in terms of 10 years ago. My brother Jeff used to call Starbucks $4 because every one of the drinks you buy there costs about $4. And now you guys, it's got to change it to $5. And I say that out of personal experience with my beloved, because that's one of her favorite places. You could be a teenager, you could be a young adult, and the amount of money that you could save, you could really do something great with if you just stuck to this idea of saving even a dollar a day. What if you wanted to keep learning? What if you wanted to make it a goal to read, let's say you wanted to read one book a month. It doesn't take that much to read one book a month. It takes about 10 or 12 pages a day to read a 300 or 400 page book in a month, right? 10 or 12 pages a day. At the end of 5 years, you know how many books you would have read? What's 12 times 5? 12 months times 5 years. 60 books. You could have read 60 books in 5 years. What kind of reading list could you crush in 5 years if you wanted to? You could read some amazing biographies, like biographies of Winston Churchill, biographies of the Wright brothers, Amelia Earhart, Abraham Lincoln. Just choose people who have made a difference in this world. Read about what they went through. Read history. Read on a broad spectrum. You could read some inspirational fiction. That could be some good reading. But at the end of the time, even if it's Green Eggs and Ham, who cares? But the point is, at the end of 60 months, you could have read 60 books. And the reason I say this about reading is the readers are the leaders, and the leaders are the readers. So be a lifelong learner. You know, for me, what I've decided to do besides reading a book a month is I've decided I'm going to take a class again. I'm going to take some kind of academic class to really learn something in ministry. I haven't had an academic class for credit in over 20 years. I don't know if you guys are in that boat, but it's been a long time since I've been in a classroom. But you know what? I want to get better. I want to get better as a person, as a pastor, as a human being. I want to keep growing as a Christ follower, and I hope you do too. You just have to keep picturing yourself and what you could be in 5 years if you just stuck to it. I mean, if you go down 5 years on a certain road, it'll take you a long way. Now, all I've been doing is describing the positive side. You realize that there are some bad choices that you make that can lead you down a bad road that'll lead you in a very bad place in 5 years. For example, 5 years from now, you could still be going through the final details of a messy divorce because of years of neglecting your spouse. It's like this one man said. He said, I didn't need to go to 3 or 4 marriage seminars. I just needed to start doing the dishes and quit being a jerk. There's his marriage seminar. So all the guys, do the dishes once in a while. Quit being a jerk. There's your marriage seminar. You've now gone. Now, as long as we apply what we hear, right? 5 years is a long enough time to get majorly addicted to alcohol. 5 years is plenty of time to get addicted to prescription drugs like opioids, which is so dangerous in our country, even a point to where you're threatening your own life, let alone the lives around you who you impact when you become addicted to substances. Work-wise, if all you wanted to do is just partially apply yourself, just do the bare minimum, don't give yourself at all to your job, not giving your best, 5 years is plenty of time to go through 5 or 6 or 7 different jobs before quitting or getting fired. 5 years is long enough to rack up a mountain of credit card debt and get stuck in a financial hole. 5 years is plenty of time, and this is sad, but it's true. 5 years is plenty of time to pack on 30 pounds. All you have to do is gain a half a pound a month. A half a pound a month. That's like 2 pieces of cheesecake. I mean, it's extra. It's really not that hard to do, right? To gain 30 pounds in 5 years. Here's another thing. 5 years is enough time to smoke 36,500 cigarettes. All you have to do is smoke one pack a day. And oh yeah, spend about $10,000. $10,000 in 5 years on cigarettes. And oh, you may be one of those people say, oh, Pastor, are you one of those people who's down on smoking? Are you saying you can't smoke cigarettes and go to heaven? Are you saying that smoking is going to keep you out of heaven? And actually what I'm going to say is if you keep smoking, you'll get to heaven even faster. So So, all right, this is what I'm getting at. This is where I'm going here. 5 years is a long enough time to do a lot, to go down a long road that will lead you either to a place of good or evil. Can we at least agree on that? By the time you get to 5 years from now, you will have enough road that's been traveled to take you a long way, one way or another. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, it's in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul. And he talks about waking up because the time is short. And if you don't have your Bible or you just want to read along the screen with me, that's great, because the verses will be up here on the screen. This is all the more urgent, Paul says, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. He said that in the first century. Time is running out. So what are we supposed to do? Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. You realize that our ultimate salvation and glorification is at least one day closer today than it was yesterday, right? Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. For what I can tell from reading Romans 13 here, I think Paul is saying at least this: time is not on your side. So if time is not on your side, then I want us to get down this concept of time and how time is so important. Paul says, I don't want you to lose track of the time. I want you to be aware of the time, not just the hours on the clock, but the times we live in. Paul's saying that the night is over and dawn is about to break. He wants us to understand the timing of things. You've been in the church, you know this explanation, or you know this illustration, but there are actually two Greek words for time, right? There's a time that talks about the hours and the minutes and the seconds that tick away on your clock. That's called chronos time, where you get a chronometer. Chronometer is one of those fancy words. You look up dictionary.com, it means a watch, or it means a clock. Something that helps you tell the time, right? That's one kind of time, but that's not the kind of time Paul is talking about here. Paul is talking about a Greek word that's called kairos. That means God's timing. And I want to give you an illustration about the difference between any old time and God's timing. Let's say you're at the airport. You're at the Oakland airport. I'll just give my own life illustration. You're at the Oakland airport, and you're at a gate at the Oakland airport at Southwest Airlines, and it says that the flight that you are supposed to be on is now boarding, right? The flight is now boarding. They're going to take the A passengers first, and you didn't get on in the first 5 seconds, so now you're not even an A. You're not even in the A group. You're in the B group. So you're waiting and waiting and waiting. If you just whittle away the time, you don't get up, you don't notice the time, pretty soon there will be a time, and it's not that far in the future, when that moment, that opportunity for you to actually get on the plane that will take you to where you want to go, you're going to miss that opportunity. So that get on the plane time before the doors shut and the plane leaves, that's not just chronos time. That is kairos time. That is an important time that you need to pay attention to. Look what Paul says in verse number 12. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of light of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties or drunkenness or sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. See, I think what Paul's talking about was what I was referring to earlier. If you go down a dark road, pretty soon that dark road is going to take you to dark places, and you're not going to like the outcome. It's going to lead you to a bad place. And Paul's saying, look, you need to wake up. The time is over. The day is upon us. So you need to start pulling your head out, so to speak, and realizing that this is God's timing, and it's not a time to be wasting. The Message by Eugene Peterson puts verse 13 this way. He says, we can't afford to waste a minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence. We're not going to squander them in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger. Does that describe life for many people? Just loitering, laying around, just kind of hanging out without any clear direction, looking for the next series to watch, binge watch on Netflix. Ouch, did I say that? Loitering and lingering, looking for the next series to binge watch on Netflix, and now you said, now, Pastor, you were doing fine, but now you've gone to meddling. Paul continues, and he says, instead of that wasting your life kind of lifestyle, 5 years from now, you're no better off than you were today. Instead of living purposefully, we've frittered away the time, loitering and laying around. And Paul says this in verse 14, instead of that dark living, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. How can you look and really be awesome 5 years from now as you picture yourself? You could radically transform your soul. You could grow closer to God than you've ever been before. Think about it. Jesus was only active in ministry on this earth for how many years? 3 years. We're not even talking 5 years. 3 years Jesus was actively ministering on this earth. And look at the impact he had. What if you gave the next 5 years over to seeking to know the Lord Jesus better? He promised, he said, those who seek me will find me. The problem isn't that we have unanswered prayers to God. Our problem isn't so much, well, I prayed to God, but he didn't answer me. Our problem is more like the prayers that we never actually prayed. How much peace do we forfeit when we don't go to God in prayer? But if for the next 5 years, if you sought God in prayer and you sought God in reading his revelation to you in his word, what about reading the Bible? Have any of you actually ever read the entire Bible all the way through? Any of you ever read the entire Bible all the way through and you say, oh man, that book is so big, it's so thick, look at all those books and chapters, how many pages are in that thing? If you just read, and here's the thing, if you just read two chapters of the Bible today, one chapter in the Old Testament, one chapter in the New Testament, you could have read the Bible through three times in the end of 5 years. The end of 5 years, three times through the Scriptures. And in those 5 years, you would have a much deeper understanding of God's Word. You could be able to respond to life situations just like Jesus did. You remember whenever Jesus got into a hard spot, whenever Jesus got into a difficulty, his instinct, his reaction was immediately to pull out a scripture from God's word. That's why the psalmist says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You're not going to be able to resist temptation with God's word if you don't have God's word accessible to you, if you're not able to recall God's word, which you've already read and put into your heart. Remember what it says, your word I've hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Just having your Bible on your shelf and having temptation come your way, that's not really going to help you, because you're going to look over at that book and say, I know there's probably something it says in there that will deal with this situation, but you don't have that word in your heart. You need to have God's word in your heart so that we might not sin against him. Today's message is all about making good decisions that point us to God. Let's get to 5 years from now and let's be excited. Let's be joy-filled about the choices that we've made. Make a good decision today and you will see a good blessing come out on the other side. Maybe not immediately, but eventually. Over the long haul, good things and blessings will come to those who make good decisions today. So look what Paul says in Galatians about making good decisions, about choices and their consequences. Remember what Paul says? Do not be deceived, he says. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that's another word for plants, that's an agricultural term. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. I just wonder, as you picture yourself in 5 years, how different is your life going to be spiritually when you gather together with God's people? Here's a question. How often do you gather together with God's people together in worship, right? Consistent worship on Sundays for an uninterrupted period of time. Can you imagine if you were here or you were in a place of worship, worshiping God, say 48 or 50 Sundays a year, what impact that might actually have? If you were gathering every week with other followers of Jesus together in a life group, they say it only takes 30 days to make a habit. If you have constant repetition, it only takes about 30 days to make it happen. What could happen if you actually came every Sunday? So my challenge to you is say, let's do an experiment in 2019. Let's see how far you can get before you miss a Sunday. And I don't mean like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to be gone next Sunday. No, I mean like, I want you to be here next Sunday and the next Sunday and the next Sunday. We're having a 5-week series called At the Movies. We're choosing 5 different movies, and these aren't radical, controversial movies. These are movies that have good stories and good drama, and we're going to find God and His message in the message of these movies. My challenge to you is to make every single week, not miss one of that series coming up, starting January 6th, called At the Movies. And then just wait and see what happens in your own soul, in your own life. Let me give you the entire message today in one sentence. Are you ready? Sometimes they just give me the bottom line, will you? You know, that's what a guy would say. You know, you've been talking a lot, but what's the bottom line? Bottom line is this: the ways that you let in become the ways you're set in. The ways you let in become the ways that you're set in. You know, every one of us has our ways. You have your ways, and I have my ways. Our ways of doing things, of speaking, of learning, of listening, of communicating. You have your ways, and God has His ways. Now, the Lord's ways may not be our ways, because the Bible says this: as the heavens are higher than the earth, so the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. The Lord's ways are above our ways of finding out. But see, God isn't the only one with ways. He says His ways are higher than our ways, but that also implies that you and I have our ways. You and I have our ways of how we choose to react. You and I have our ways for how we choose to speak. You and I have our ways to how we choose to reply on social media. You and I have our ways of when or how we choose whether we're going to jump into something or whether we're going to shrink back and hold back from that. What we accept and what we decline, our ways of when we stay and when we move on and go. It's your passions, it's your checking account, it's all of these things, your personality, your decisions, they all speak of your ways. Your text message history speaks of your ways. You have your ways and I have mine. And what I'm trying to caution you is this: the ways you let in, the habits that you form, the mannerisms that you go about doing your life, the ways you let in become the ways you're set in. Now, what do I mean by that? Become the ways that you're set in. Well, you think of the future you. I think of me at age 60 and 5 years from now. You know, Jim at age 60. What is that person going to be like? Jim in 5 years is going to be an exaggerated version of Jim at age 55 in the present. The future you is just an exaggerated version of the current you. You know, think about the future. Sometimes we think of it romantically. Sometimes you see the future, oh, it's so mysterious. It's like, who am I going to be when I grow up? Well, you're going to be exactly like you, just exaggerated. You're going to be exactly, if you want to know what you're going to be like in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, look at yourself and just see more miles on the odometer. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that if you're the ways that you let in, if you're kind today, if you are gentle, if you are patient today, those things are just going to deepen. Those things will mature in your life. That's why I'm seeing some saints around here in their 70s and 80s, and you're extremely godly people because you have followed the ways of the Lord for years and years and years and years, and now it's just become you. So you're an exaggerated version of a kinder, patient, loving, gentle person that you were before, and you kept building on that. Picture what a more generous person looks like. Somebody, and that could be you, a more generous person who might just have more leathery complexion, that's all, in 5 years. That's the good news. Well, the bad news is on the other side. If today, if you're cruel, if you're impatient, you will be crueler still. You will be harsher still. That's a message in which you're going to be 5 years from now. Time alone doesn't change who you are. It reveals who you are. It makes you more of who you are. So time alone isn't going to change you. Sometimes you say, "Well, I'm going to be different in the future." No, you're going to be exactly like the person who is making life choices today. Whatever your life choice is today, that's going to be your future. We used to say that to teenagers in youth group. You know what you used to say? You say, you know what? You choose your friends, And your friends choose your future. Because who you hang out with, the ways you let in, who you're constantly hanging out with, those are going to be the ways that you're set in. So if you don't like who or what you've been becoming lately, then you need to change what you're doing. You need to make some different decisions. You need to make some different choices. You need to value some different things than maybe you value right now. You need to watch out and be really careful about the ways that you let in before they continue to set in your life. That's incredibly important. The Bible says this is really important because the Bible, the Christian term for this, the Bible calls this repentance, making different decisions about God that lead you to a better future. So let's wrap up what I'm trying to say today. Number one, don't underestimate what you can accomplish if you stick to it. If you stick to it, you can accomplish a great deal, whether it's a degree, a sport, a language, a career, a character. Don't underestimate what you can accomplish. Secondly, again, and I haven't said it enough, the ways you let in, the decisions you make, what you let in your eye gate, what you watch, what you read, what you listen to, the ways you let in become the ways you're set in. And then number three, the future you is just an exaggerated version of you, depending on the decisions that you make right now. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and close us out with a song. And before we do that, I invite us all to bow our heads, and we're going to have a word of prayer together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful for this time. We're grateful to be able to think about some important things, consider some powerful truths. God, we're thankful for the way that your word speaks to us. Lord, you say, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And Lord, whenever your word speaks to us, it opens up new insights. It points us to a new way of thinking and being. Lord, you said heaven and earth will pass away before your word ever passes away. And so we know, God, your word, these ideas, they're eternal. And so, Lord, we pray that your inspired eternal words will be penetrating us and cutting through our defenses. Lord, help them dissolve hardness in our heart. Lord, let your word quicken us to hear what you're doing and what you want from us and what you're inviting us to be a part of. Gracious God, we don't want to miss out on anything in 2019. We don't want to miss out on anything in the next 5 years. Lord, we want all that you have for us. We want that in the next 5 years. God, we want that forever. And we don't ever want to have you look in our lives and say, oh, if you only could have done that or decided to follow that, if only you could have been me, then I would have done this differently. God, help us to not go down a dark path. Help us to focus, to be in the moment. Like Paul says, to be alert, to be in the present, putting on Christ and making no provision for the flesh. And so even now, today, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and this as year 2018 is coming to a close and a new year is just around the corner, I just wondered if there's anyone in this room today, or anyone watching online, is there anyone who's been stirred by these things? Say, God, I'm stirred right now. God, I think you want me to make some new choices in some different ways, some choices that'll help me become who you want me to be. If that describes you today, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you want to make some decisions that'll lead to a better you and a better future, would you just raise your hand? Is that something you want to do? Thank you. I'm with you. I've got both hands up right now. I want to be a better version of me in the next 5 years. This invitation is going out to those also who've never yet made a decision to follow Christ, because we're making this case that life is a series of choices. We're talking about choices that you make and where those choices lead you. And if there's somebody who's never yet made the choice to follow Jesus, who's still without a right relationship with God, who's still not yet a full part of God's family, looking to fill the hole in your heart, just leaving, you know, these messages, or sometimes you just have this aching sense that you're made for more, that God has more for you than what you've got so far. Lord, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would draw this person to yourself. And of all the choices you make in life, just know that the most important choice you'll ever make comes down to what you will do with Jesus, whether you choose to trust him for forgiveness and eternal life. And so we pray right now in this moment, every person who needs to choose life and not death, every person who needs to trust in Jesus, who gave his life for you on the cross and raised from the dead, who just in a moment for some of us, sooner than later, who will all be standing before you when this short life is over. God, help those people. If you've ever been drawn to God who loves you and wants to invade your rebel soul with his grace, if he's calling you right now, I encourage you, let today be the day that you let God in, that you don't block him, that you don't decline his invitation, that you don't put it off. Today, if you're saying in your heart, this is me, I need to make this decision. I hear God speaking right now, and I'm responding. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Just say this to God, because God can hear you whenever you pray. Just say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong things in my life, and Lord, I so want to be forgiven. I want to be set free. I want to know what it's like to be fully alive in you. And so I trust in your death for me on the cross, that you rose from the dead on the third day, and I receive your gift of forgiveness and salvation. Lord Jesus, thank you for new life. I give you mine to live for you, and I pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you all to stand as we get ready to sing this closing song. You know, last week we talked about angels. We talked about angels being God's messengers, and we talked about angels. What is it that makes angels happy? What is it that makes angels rejoice? You know, they say that the angels in heaven rejoice over even one person, one sinner, who turns back to God in repentance. So if that's you today, I say God bless you. I congratulate you. We have some next steps in the lobby area to help you in this new walk of faith in Jesus Christ. For now, let's just rejoice in the goodness that God has for us and rejoice in the possibilities of who God can make each one of us in the next 5 years. Mike?
Well, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. 'Cause you're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Will I see many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we can say a word. 'Cause you're a good, good father. That's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, yeah. It's who I am. It's who I am. And you're a good, good father.
It's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Yeah. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. 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 You are perfect in all your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. With love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. And peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me, yeah. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good Father. That's who you are.
Yes, you are.
Who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
An opportunity that you and I have in the next year, in the next 5 years, to become the best version of yourselves in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's take advantage of that opportunity. Don't underestimate what you can accomplish. And just remember, the ways that you let in will become the ways that you are set in. God bless you and have a wonderful next year.
You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Out of the ashes we rise. above all.
I'm glad you made it back for this service now.
It's great to see Major's daughter again. Last time I saw her was 1999, so that was 19 years ago.
She was just a baby.
She was.
Or how old is she? I don't know.
She and Michael were little kids.
Little tiny.
Yeah.
Has he got two kids? You said Michael.
Michael's a brother. So I don't know if he's the older one or not.
But so he's got two kids or maybe more?
No, I don't know.
Oh. Major?
Major does, yeah.
Yeah, Major does. Two kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was quite a day. We had this wonderful chicken and suds dish, and then they said you have to see the waterfall. It's not far.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, you went over
there? They said, you have to see the waterfall. It's not far. It is not far.
How long?
Kathy said, we have 45 minutes to walk into this stupid thing, and it's this tall.
Oh.
We're like, that's a water leak. Well, after that, we didn't trust them.
Yeah. Waterfall.
Sure.
Just so you know, it's already 2 minutes.
Huh?
It's live.
Well, good morning, Sebastopol Christian Church. Woo! It's time. Praise God. Good to see everybody. Good to see everybody. It's good to be here today. Why don't we go ahead and stand? Let's just go ahead and open the service up right now. Talk about the grace, the amazing grace of our God and King. Amen. You all know this song, so let's sing it out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah! Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Yeah, Lord. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, God. All right. Verse 3 says, who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, yeah, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. Yes, it is. You would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down my life, your life, Lord, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Yeah. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. Yes, it is. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. Thank you, Lord. You would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. For me. All that you've done for me. Ready? Here we go. This is amazing grace.
Start off a church service reminding ourselves of God's amazing grace. Two things we can rely on: His amazing grace and His unfailing love. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you guys had a great Christmas, and now we've come to the last service of 2018. Can you believe that? Going in the calendar books and moving on to 2019. It's good to have Mike McKenna back with us leading worship. All right, Mike. He's doing reasonably well. He says, pray for his voice, because I didn't notice a thing wrong with his voice. So you're doing great. Hey, it's great to see you guys here. Just to let you know, we are a group of Jesus people. We love him. We follow him. And we try to grow ourselves up in our faith and lead other people into a growing relationship with Christ. So that's why we gather here on Sundays. We'd love to connect with you. If you wouldn't mind filling out a welcome card, if you're new here, please fill this out. We'll follow up with you via email or a phone call. And also, we have a gift for you. So if you turn in this card to me after the service, we'll give you this nice travel mug for hot beverages on a December day. So that's great. We want to connect with you during the week as well. There's just 1 hour on Sundays, but there's lots of hours during the week. So if you notice in your bulletin on the back, there's ways to connect with us via Facebook, our website, Twitter, Instagram, PushPay, lots of ways to stay in contact with us during the week. So it's a beautiful day. I was watching a wonderful football game last night. Alabama Crimson Tide are going to be in the national championship again. And the reason I say that is because my son-in-law, Craig, he goes over to Bayside Folsom. He meets a guy in his church who just happens to have two tickets to the national championship college game at Levi Stadium next week in San Francisco. And Craig has been an Alabama fan for 20 years, suffering in Southern California, but always an Alabama fan. And he got invited. Craig is going to go to the national championship game. So he's super excited. I hope you have something to look forward to in 2019. Let's turn and greet one another.
All right. Let's, I hate to barge in and break up this great time of fellowship, but we're going to move, continue moving on. And if you would just, you know, find your seat. And we're going to continue with worship. I wanted to say this. There's a new song I'd like to teach you today. Maybe you've heard this song, maybe on K-Love or whatever, or Chris Tomlin, if you listen to him. He has a song that's called Resurrection Power. And you know, that's the beautiful thing about what Jesus did. He came as a baby, and we see him as that baby who came, that little innocent little baby. But he came with a purpose, right? And that purpose was to purchase us, that we might have that power, that resurrection when he rose from the dead. He said that same power resides in us. Amen? So as we sing this, as you learn it, you know, we'll learn it together. Amen. You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom, no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. I'm dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. I see my past has been redeemed. The new has come. Oh, yeah. And now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom, no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom, freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Thank you, Lord. Freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Now no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Oh, now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. Now no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the life of your goodness. You have given us freedom. One more time. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. Now no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom. Yeah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, today for just the opportunity, the privilege, and the honor of being called your children, to know you as not only God, but as our Father. You are so worthy of praise. And we give you thanks this morning. You are our living hope. You are our only hope. In a world of darkness, like that song says, we've been delivered from that darkness because of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's sing this song, Living Hope. 3, 4. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Sing it again. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living home. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion
declared the grave has no claim on me.
Let's sing that part again.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Yeah.
Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living.
Sing it again one more time.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh my God, you are my living hope.
All praise to our Lord Jesus. He is our living hope. Amen. You may be seated. And we're going to continue our worship this morning by celebrating communion. It's also called the Lord's Supper. Sometimes in certain churches, it's called the Eucharist. I looked up Eucharist. Every time there's a foreign word, I always get curious about it. Eucharist means thanksgiving. And why would we have a time of thanksgiving at communion? I think hopefully the answer is obvious. We're thanking the Lord Jesus for what he has done for us, how he has given us a living hope through his death on the cross for our sins and his burial and his resurrection. So if you're going to be serving communion this morning, I invite you to come forward and prepare at this time. I want to quote a scripture to you from Luke chapter 22, Luke's gospel, where they're in the upper room the night before Jesus was crucified. And he talks about something that's new. You know, our God is into new. You get down to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and Jesus is about to bring the new heavens and the new earth. And he says, behold, I make all things new. You know, we're not living in the old covenant anymore. We're living in the new covenant. And the new covenant began when Jesus came to earth and he became our Savior. And now he's to the point of celebrating the Passover. It says, and Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Some people wonder, you know, they look up at the table, they say, why does it say that? In remembrance of me. That's always a reminder. This is a direct quote from when Jesus said, anytime you celebrate communion, it's not a time to be casual about it. It's not a time to take it very lightly. It's a time to do this in remembrance of him. In the same way, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The new covenant, the new deal, the new agreement between man and God, where we're not trying to keep all the commandments in order to become righteous before God. We are accepting the righteousness of Christ because of his merits, because of him giving his life for us. God is all about new. Even in Ezekiel 36, to a group of dead people, God told the prophet Ezekiel that he was going to put a new heart and he would put a new spirit in them. Jesus came and he told his disciples of the same night as celebrating Passover and the first communion, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. This is the new covenant that is signed by Jesus himself in his blood. The Bible says to the elders, it says, shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And then, of course, Christ is making all things new. So when we get to what God is doing, he's always doing a new thing. And through Jesus, communion reminds us that the new thing is we have a new start. We have a new beginning. We are forgiven. Our sins are wiped out. Our guilt, the shame, the brokenness, the separation from God, it's all wiped out because Jesus is making all things new, and we celebrate that. At this time of communion, the practice of our church is that we have our ushers serve communion, so you remain in your seats, and the elements are going to be passed by. There's a tray with a piece of bread. There's a tray with a cup of juice to remind us of the blood of Christ. If you call yourself a Christ follower, you're welcome to partake. If you want to let it pass by, that's up to you. But you take a piece of bread and the cup individually, and you'll have a time of prayer and meditation before God. It's a time to examine yourself and to see where you're at in your relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we honor you today. We celebrate your victory over sin and death, and we celebrate the new life we have because you came and gave us a new covenant signed with your own blood to show the depth of your love for us. Lord, we love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you.
welcome, everyone. We pray that you had a very Merry Christmas, and now we are excited to look forward to a new year. That slide popped up, and I'm sure it was probably planned, but it just reminded me, look at that. We get to shed some old stuff and look forward to new because of Jesus. And we are so excited for what God holds for us in this new year of 2019. In fact, we are looking forward next week when we kick off 2019 to a brand new series called At the Movies. This is a perfect opportunity for each and every one of us to be praying about that person that we can invite. This is a great way to usher them in to a life with Jesus. And so we want to introduce them to him and to our church. So please be praying and thinking about who can you invite to our new series kicking off in January At the Movies. And then we would love for you to be praying with us for our youth group. We love our youth. We want Jesus to do a special thing in their life, and we know that he will, at their winter camp, Hume Lake. They're going to be going to Hume, and so just pray for them. Pray that each and every person that is supposed to go will go, that their costs will be covered, and that every detail that they need taken care of will be taken care of. So be praying, please, with us. That is also happening next week, the first weekend of January. And then we want you to save the date. You may have seen the popcorn on the poster out there. We're going to have another family movie night. The first one was really fun as we gathered together. Again, wonderful opportunity. The kids will be starting back to school. Invite their friends. Say, hey, we've got an incredible opportunity to have some fun. Yes, there'll be some popcorn and treats, but we're going to be showing Prince of Egypt. That will be happening on Friday, January 18th. So it's a Friday night, family fun night. Come and join us, won't you please? And then we have our men's breakfast coming up, Saturday, January 19th, where we know all good things, meat and yummy, will be served, but also a wonderful guest speaker that will encourage every man that comes. So join us, won't you? Well, Jim, I've been looking forward to this sermon. I know I need it, with a fresh perspective on how to look at what God can do with our lives. So we're ready.
Thank you, Lisa. I was looking at that icon up there on the men's breakfast with the eggs and the bacon, and I said, I've eaten a lot of that in the last few days, and I've been popping statin pills like they're going out of style. Hopefully keep the cholesterol down. I'm really excited to share this message with you. I wanted to remind you and make you aware. Do you remember last week when we had young Jackie Tisthammer? And I always have to say that because there's two Jackies. Daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, and the young Jackie was here, and she, the younger, right? Jackie too, yes, yeah. Oh boy, I'll have to apologize to the slightly older Jackie later. All right, anyway, so Jackie too was up here speaking on communion, and she was talking about the InterVarsity ministry that she and Troy are involved with on the campus of Sonoma State, and she said 22 of those students were going, along with some Santa Rosa Junior College students, to this giant gathering in St. Louis, Missouri. It's called Urbana. It's this big conference with InterVarsity where they challenge college students to give their lives for the ministry, to give their lives for the kingdom of God. Sometimes they're called into mission work. Sometimes they're called into church leadership. And a lot of lives get changed during that time period. So given that they are there right now, those 18,000 young people are gathered together with Troy and Jackie, given that our high schoolers are leaving for Hume Lake this Thursday, is that right, Luke? This Thursday, I think it's worth us gathering one more time as a church body and praying for them. So would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, you are the God who does amazing things. And Lord, it's so awesome to see young lives that are captured by you and your spirit and your kingdom and your mission. And so, Lord, we pray for those high schoolers that are going to be going with Luke up to Hume Lake this Thursday for their winter camp. Father, we're praying for safety for them as they travel back and forth. We pray that they'll have a great time together, wonderful time of friendship building and fellowship. But Lord, if there's some eternal work, if there's some work that you want to do in one of these young people's lives where they cross the line of faith and they say, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that that would happen, that if somebody is far from you and not yet in your family, that they would make the decision to become a Christ follower and then strengthen the faith of those other young people that are there. Also, Lord, for Urbana, we pray that you would just do an amazing work, pour out your spirit, call people into lifetime service to you and your kingdom, to where they can reach their generation and younger generations with the good news of Jesus. Lord, we know the message doesn't change, but the vehicle, the way they communicate it, the words they say, they are so much more capable of communicating the gospel to their own generation. So we pray, Father, that you would call them into service and ministry however you see fit, and then bring them all back safely to wherever they're going. Lord, for today, for this message about the new year and picturing yourself in 5 years, Lord, we pray. I pray for clarity. I pray for passion. I pray that your Holy Spirit will just give me the right words to say in the right order. And I also pray for our audience, Lord, those who are listening online, those who are here in the sanctuary. Father, give us ears to hear what you want to say to us. Give us a mind to capture it, and give us a heart to obey whatever you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys done the offering already? Okay, go ahead. You're off. And while they're doing it, I'll give an introduction to this message. Because I am excited to share this message. We're coming to the end of 2018. There's only today and tomorrow left in the year 2018. The new year's just around the corner. And so I wanted to do a quick review of 2018. First, I just want to talk about what really mattered in 2018, which is sports. So here we go. So football, what happened? The Philadelphia Eagles. I think we were over at Jim and slightly older Jackie's house to watch the Super Bowl in February. I'm going to never live that down. And the Eagles were the champs. Nick Foles, the quarterback. I love it how they stuck it to the Patriots. Okay. Alabama Crimson Tide were the college football champs, and it looks like they have a chance to repeat that this year, although they got to face a tough Clemson team, which Holly Dack will be rooting for. Winter Olympics came in February, and lots too much to report on that, except that I remember Sean White, you know, in the tube and the snowboard and the tube jumping and all that. He won, came back, and won a third time for an Olympic gold. I was excited for him. In hockey, if you care about ice hockey, both people in the room, the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup in June. In basketball, which almost everybody cares about, the Golden State Warriors were the world champs again. And they're looking to three-peat this year. Villanova were the college champs. The World Cup, France beat Croatia. And there's this new star is born, this young guy that was super fast, scored a lot of goals. I remember that in the French victory. The French should celebrate the victory. I remember that old joke about the French. They said, how many French soldiers does it take to defend Paris? And the answer is, we don't know. It's never been done yet. So anyway, glad that the French have a victory. And baseball, the Red Sox beat the LA Dodgers. You know, not so much great for the Red Sox, but just that the Dodgers lost again. That was nice to see. So there's 2018 in sports. Now, 2018 in the news, I don't have much to report. We live in a country that's divided politically, people snarking at each other, attacking each other. No unity, hardly any unity at all. The country's just split down the middle. That's very difficult to see. There were school shootings. There's drama over midterm elections, Supreme Court nominations. You just see how divided we are. So we really pray that 2019 brings more unity, more understanding, more graciousness, that we think before we tweet, kind of thing that would happen in 2019. And oh, by the way, on the good news side, there was this really cool wedding in May. You remember Prince Harry married Meghan Markle, and now they're getting ready to have a baby, so that's really cool. I guess she's violating all kinds of protocol from her grandmother-in-law, the Queen. She's not pleased with some of her dresses and outfits, and I just say, who cares? She's an American. So anyway, that's some of the news that happened in 2018. Now, I want to get right into the message for today. Picture yourself in 5 years. What will you be like in 5 years from now? 5 years from now, just think of it. Look it on the calendar. 2019, in past years, seemed very futuristic to me. Now it's 2 days away. But what would it be like if you pictured yourself, like you had a big birthday candle, a big birthday party, and they had you, and they said, happy whatever number birthday it was in the year 2023, right? That 2023 just sounds futuristic to me. It sounds like something out of Star Wars or the Avengers, or if you're old enough, the Jetsons, you know, that it would just be something way off into the future. Take that little trip to me in the future, if you will. If you could picture your age in 5 years as a giant number, and there's this big cake with all these candles burning, and the fire department is on speed dial, and you're ready to celebrate 5 years, you know, try and picture yourself at that age, if you can, in 5 years. You know, my wife Lisa and I were slightly older than, you know, 45-ish, and all right, fine. Actually, we're both in our mid-50s, and in 5 years, we're both going to be 60, and that seems like a daunting number. But here we are now, entering the third decade of the 21st century. 5 years' time, we're going to be in our 60s, and actually, I'm really excited about that. I'm looking forward to that decade, because you just saw our grandkids that were down here, but I can't wait to see our grandkids in 5 years. I mean, Cammy, she's going to be 11, Cade's going to be 9. Better behave by then, we hope and pray, and the baby to be born is now going to be pushing 5 years old. We don't even have a name for her, but Tyler and Allie are having a baby, and there might even be another grandkid by then. So we're really excited about what the future holds, and the insane soccer Saturday that it'll probably be when we're out there watching the crumb crunchers run around the fields. That's going to be fun to watch. I hope you are excited too about the next 5 years. I was in the first service, and I was looking out at an older-looking congregation than what I see here today. When I said, picture yourself in 5 years, I didn't see a lot of smiling faces, to be honest. A lot of them said, you know, one gentleman on a prayer team, he said to me, you know, I could very easily be in heaven in 5 years. And I said, well, would that be so bad? You know, no more crying there, no more tears, no more pain. Or sorrow, your body, you're going to get a brand new body, and it's going to be awesome. At least you'll be closer to heaven, if for no other reason in 5 years than you are right now. I hope that you are excited about the next season of your life, because God has already gone before you, and He has good things planned for you in the future. I think sometimes when it comes to the new year and all the plans that we have to change, you know, our new year's resolution, I'm going to be better at this year. I'm not going to do so much bad stuff this year. We hope for transformation. The problem of just looking at a new year's resolution is sometimes we think too small. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Two observations, two nuggets of wisdom about the short term and the long term. Number one, we overestimate what we can do in the short term, right? I think a lot of us ready to do a New Year's resolution or two during that time period. And usually by the end of January, whatever resolution that was, it's down at the side of the road. We dumped it off somewhere during those 4 weeks, and we're moving on to something else. We overestimate what we can do in the short term. We just do. And then number two, that's the bad part. But here's the good part, and this is what I want to focus on. Even though we think we can do more than we actually can in the short term, we underestimate what we can do or accomplish in the long term, right? And here's the point. We can do a great deal in the long term if we just stick to it. The trouble is, and if you're like me, I'm putting myself right in that camp. The trouble is, many of us have these tragically short attention spans, right? That stick-to-itiveness is just evaporating in our culture, especially it's evaporating in younger generations, millennial, younger, Gen Z, and some of us older generations, we don't have any patience to stick with it either. We jump ship the moment we're not happy anymore. We bail out the moment we're not ecstatic about some experience anymore, and we don't stay with stuff long enough to see any significant impact. You know, that's certainly true in church ministry, and I'll put myself in this camp when I say that, because here's the reality of church ministry. Did you know that the average stay now in 2018, the average stay of a pastor in a local church is about 3 years. The average stay of a youth pastor is less than 2 years. So Luke, you've been here how long now? 3 years! Luke is beating the odds. He's beating the odds and he's asking for a raise. Okay. But anyway, it's great to have him here that long. So the point is about pastors and staying such a short time. It's like they preached all the sermons they already had, so now they're out of new material and they move on and they go repeat that, you know, lather, rinse, repeat at the next church, and then just keep moving on. The trouble is, how, as a church leader, how can you really make an impact in a community or in anybody's life in the long term if you don't give yourself long enough to hit your stride? I wonder if the same isn't true in a lot of different fields or situations or relationships in many areas of life. We overestimate. We say, oh, we can do a lot in the short term, and then we bail out when it's not fun anymore. But we underestimate what we could do in the long term if we just stick with it, right? That's the heart of this message of picture you in 5 years. We're not just going to start out a new year saying, okay, what's on the line between me and this next year? What am I going to try to do in the next 12 months? I want us to think bigger than that. Think about 5 years. You're not just going to map it out 1 year, but 5 years. What could you be by the time it's 2023? Okay, let me say that in more of a rhyming tune. What could you be by 2023, right? So think about that. And if you gave it all you have, if you stuck with it, if you trusted God who made heaven and earth, who's for you and not against you, who gave you his son, who gave you his spirit, what could you be 60 months from now? That's the question I want to address today. You in 5 years. Think about it in terms of 5 years ago, not just 5 years into the future. Where were you back in 2013? What comes to mind? Where did you live? Where did you work? How was your home life? How was your work life? What were your relationships? How was your health? How was your spiritual health? All those things come to mind. You say, wow, a lot has changed in 5 years in 2013. Some probably for the good and maybe some for the not so good. And I think it has a lot to do with what was the trajectory of your life in the last 5 years. So if you can analyze that and figure that out a little bit, you get a better idea for how to do better in the next 5 years. Because I think 5 years is a long time. I think 5 years is plenty long to be able to accomplish quite a bit. I sat down this week, I got to thinking in my imagination about what somebody could do if they gave serious effort to something for 5 years. 5 years is a long time to do a lot of good. 5 years is also a long time that could lead you down a bad path, lead you in a place you really don't want to be in 5 years. You could get into a lot of trouble if you made some bad choices and played those out 5 years from now. On the positive side, this is what I wrote down. On the positive side, if you wanted, you could be fluent in a new language by now. You could learn French in 5 years. You could learn what Kevin's sister meant when she said to him, "You are what the French call les incompétents." You could learn what the perfume means when they say Yves Saint Laurent, right? So you could learn stuff like that. You know what I did? Of course, Rosetta Stone has been around for a long time as a way to learn a language. But there's an app now. There's an app for everything, right? There is an app for learning a new language. It's called Duolingo, right? Does that name sort of ring a bell? Duolingo, two languages, Duolingo. Okay, am I speaking your lingo? There we go. In Duolingo, I downloaded the app this morning early, and I started practicing French. And in 5 minutes, I learned cat, I learned le chat, I learned man, l'homme, and didn't learn anything after that. But I'm on my way. And by the way, depending on how serious you are, you can say, I just casual, I only want to do this 5 minutes a day, and it'll give you a reminder, your French lesson is due today. You can do it for 10 minutes a day. You could do it for 20 minutes a day. You could learn, if you dedicated yourself, you could learn a language and become fluent in 5 years if you really wanted to. I mean, isn't it true? Didn't there used to be a day in our lifetime where it wasn't that uncommon to know somebody who knew more than one language? And now what's the truth? Most of us only know 75% of one language. So we could do that. If you're going to learn a new language and you only speak one, I would totally recommend Spanish to you. For obvious reasons. If you look around in California, if you ever have lunch at El Favorito, and I totally recommend it, down there on Main Street, you will hear a lot of Spanish in California. And I want to remind you, if you learn a language, you are building a bridge. Because when you learn a new language, you are building a bridge to a new group of people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, to the Jews I became like a Jew, to the Gentiles I became like a Gentile. He says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some of them. Becoming all things to all people, some of it could be learning their language. And some of it could be the actual language, and some of it could be learning their culture. Some of it could be learning their worldview, why they think what they think. You know, like in Spanish, when you learn the word esposa, and it means the word wife, like esposa is wife. But when you say, what are esposas, that means handcuffs, right? And you're like, esposa and esposas, and you're like, what's this in the culture where they invented the term handcuffs to be the same word as wife? So it teaches you something about the culture as well as the language, right? So 5 minutes, if you really wanted to, you could learn language. Now my model of life right here for this next one is our drummer for our church. His name is Raul Guerra, and he's sitting right over there. Because in 5 years, you could also, if you really wanted to and you stuck with it, you could learn some real practical skills. You could learn how to build things. You could learn how to fix things. You could learn how to fairly become a handyman or a handy woman, right? You could learn how to install things. You know how I get stuff like that done? I got Raul on speed dial. Raul, this is Jim. I'm desperate. Please come over and help me. You know, so there's ways to get it done, but that's not the best way. I want to become better at some of these practical skills. And Raul says, well, there's hope for you yet. You know, God is the God of the impossible. And Raul has faith in me that someday I could pull this off. You know, in 5 years, that's a long period of time, 60 months, 5 years, you could get a degree in something, in some academic skill if you really wanted to. I'm trying to get some skills in school. I'm going back to school, and I'm going to do it. To get a degree in 5 years, yes, it's possible. I mean, most of us finished high school in 4 years, unless you were like that guy that says, you know, high school, best 6 years of my life. That's not your role model for academia, but you could, if you got through high school in 4 years, you could probably get a degree in 5 years if you stuck to it. You could take some night classes, some online courses at community college. 5 years from now, you could have a whole different world of opportunity open up to you if you took advantage of it. You could have the credentials of whatever you're entering into, whatever field, and you could be able to do something that produces better income. You could pour into the kingdom of God. You'd be generous. You could do a lot of good with that. So maybe not just a degree in 5 years, but perhaps in 5 years you could learn a new skill. A new skill. Is that something where you learn a new aptitude, a new marketable skill? A skill that there's actually a demand for out there, right? Not like art history, master's in art history. I really don't know if that's going to help you get a job. But something where it's a marketable skill and you might get paid to do it. To find out what you're good at, to learn about it, and then get people to pay you to do it. I mean, that's the key, right? What do I tell young people? Is young people, find out what you're passionate about. And then study it and become good at it and become skilled at it. Because if you do, you might just make a living at it and get people to pay you to do that. And they'll want to listen to what you have to say because you have expertise in that area. So in 5 years, you could be at a different place in the work field if you really got after it. It just depends on the choices that you want to make today. So you could do something like get a degree. In 5 years, you could master a sport. Master a sport. I say that sort of tongue in cheek. You could become decent at a sport in 5 years. If you're not a runner, you could take up running, and maybe you could run a half marathon or a marathon. And by the way, I don't recommend a marathon. I've seen a lot of, I've seen people run marathons, and I've seen what they look like afterwards. They're like in traction for a week. I did it. I ran 26.2 miles, and now they're out for like a whole week laying on their back, recovering. So it's like, it's a great endurance thing, but what does it really do for you? You know, you do great exercise in one day, and then you spend a week recovering. So I'm not sure if that's the best idea, but you could run a marathon if you really wanted to. You could take up tennis or bowling. If we work really hard at it, guys, we can become like Falk Dressing in 5 years. These guys are already getting their own bowling balls, their bowling shoes. I got this cheap plastic bowling ball. I can't keep up with them. I'm going to have to invest to get better in bowling than these guys. You could learn to play a musical instrument. You could learn to play chess. You could do a number of things if you really wanted to. You could have a goal of saving up your pennies or your dollars to buy something of value. Do you know that if you save just $1 a day, just half a cup of Starbucks tall brew, not the $5 ones, just the $2 ones, right? If you save just $1 a day, in 5 years, you'd have over $1,800. You could buy something significant with that. You could donate to something significant like that. You'd have something of great value that you could do something significant with if you just stuck to, say, saving $1 a day. What if you wanted to keep learning? This is what I say about learning. You know, learning is it's a lifetime. You don't learn to get a degree and then you put it on pause and just let it ride on autopilot after you get a degree. You've got to be a lifelong learner. And one of the ways that you keep learning is obviously reading books. And I don't mean watching the History Channel. I mean, you could learn Discovery Channel. You could learn things that way too. But as far as reading books, they say that the cliche, I think, is true. The readers are the leaders, and the leaders are the readers. If you want to have greater influence in your world for Christ, read more. Make it your goal. If you just read one book a month, that's like 10 or 12 or maybe 15 pages a day. Read that much a day, you will have read one book a month. By the end of 5 years, you will have read 60 books. And it could be 60 books of significance. You could be reading great biographies like Winston Churchill or Abraham Lincoln or Amelia Earhart or William Wilberforce, the Wright brothers and how they learned to fly. I mean, there's some amazing people who've really made a difference in the world. And you can read and be inspired from them and how they did what they did. Read about what they went through and the obstacles that they had to overcome. So you could read 60 books, and yeah, you could read inspirational fiction, and that was a commercial for Francine Rivers. Read her books. They'll inspire you as well to live a better life. It could be Green Eggs and Ham. I don't care. Just read a book. Readers are the leaders, and the leaders are the readers. 5 years from now, you go down a certain road, it can take you a long way. 5 years, a certain road can take you a long way for good, but unfortunately, 5 years can also take you on a road that is going to end up in a place you don't want to be, and it won't be so healthy. It will not be so positive. A lot of bad things could happen in 5 years. 5 years from now, you could be going through the final details of a horrifying, terrible, messy divorce because of 5 years of neglecting your spouse. It's like the one man said, you know, do I really need to go to a marriage seminar? Do I really need to read a book on marriage? What if I just did some more dishes and I quit being a jerk, right? When I hear that, I say, you know, that's probably well on your way to what a good seminar would teach you on marriage, is just do the dishes once in a while. Serve your spouse once in a while. Quit being a jerk once in a while, and maybe you'll do better in your marriage. I mean, 5 years on a bad road, that's long enough to get majorly addicted to alcohol. It's long enough to get addicted to prescription drugs like opioids. Opioids, they're so dangerous. Even to a point where you're threatening your own life and you're malaffecting the lives of many people around you. 5 years from now, you could be partially through a prison sentence. That's drastic. Our prisons are full now, right? But 5 years is plenty of time to get into trouble and to do that. Work-wise, if you don't apply yourself, if you don't care about your work or putting your best effort into your work, if you're just going to partially give an effort, 5 years will be enough time now to work 6 or 7 or 8 different jobs before quitting or before you get fired. 5 years is long enough to rack up a mountain of credit card debt. 5 years is long enough, is plenty long to get in a financial hole. 5 years is plenty of time to gain 30 pounds. And I say that, gain 30 pounds in 5 years. You know all it takes? Like 2 pieces of cheesecake extra a day. It's not hard to do in the holidays, right? But if you gain a half a pound a month, how many pounds will that be in 5 years? 30 pounds. It's not that hard to do. 5 years is enough time to smoke 36,500 cigarettes. You will do that if you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day and spend over $10,000, by the way. And so you're not one, oh, so here's the thing about smoking. Oh, you're one of those pastors who's down on smoking? You don't think somebody can be a Christian and smoke cigarettes? You don't think somebody can smoke and still go to heaven? And my answer to that is actually, you can smoke and still go to heaven. In fact, you'll just go there a lot faster. All right, here's what I'm getting at with all this. 5 years is long enough to do a lot, to go down a long path, whether for good or for evil. By the time you get to 5 years from now, there will have enough road that's traveled to take you a long way in one direction or another. And so the scripture I want to get to today is in Romans chapter 13. I've got it up on the screen, but if you want to look in your Bibles, it's in the New Testament, the book of Romans in chapter 13. It's a great letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Christ who was living in the city of Rome. He gets down to chapter 13. He's talking about how to live life now that you're a Christ follower. And he says these words. Paul says, "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." You know, you read Romans 13 here, and I think one of the things you see just very easily is that time is not necessarily on your side. If you like to take notes in church, that's great. Time is not necessarily on your side. You can jot that down. Paul brought this concept of time up in this passage, and he said he doesn't want us to lose track of time. Paul wants us to be aware of the times we're living in. He's talking about the night is over. He's talking about dawn is about to break. So you've got to take advantage of the time that God gives to you and me. And when he's talking about time here, he's not just talking about hours and minutes and seconds that tick by on your watch. This is, a fancy word for this. Look this up, dictionary.com. Look up chronometer. Woo, four-syllable word. Chronometer is a great, big word that means watch or a timepiece, right? So a timepiece, that's chronos. That's just measuring time as it goes by in hours and minutes and seconds. But there's another word for time that is like it's God's time. It's a specific moment in time. It's like that time when Jesus is born in Galatians where God says, and so God now at just the right time, the right kairos moment, God sent Jesus, born of a woman, born of under the law to redeem us all who are under the law and under the curse of the law. So he's talking about kairos time. This is strategic time, time that has an open opportunity moment, and then that opportunity closes. And the illustration I thought of was if you're at the airport, you're at the Oakland airport, and you're at Southwest Airlines, and you're waiting to catch a flight somewhere else in the country, and they say your flight number. They say, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is it's not your captain. It's whoever's representing Southwest Airlines. And we want you to know that flight 2732 is getting ready to go to Los Angeles, and we'll be boarding right now. We'll start with the A's, and then we'll go to the B and the C. And, if you didn't check in the first 5 seconds of the opportunity, you're automatically in the B's or the C's. I don't even know how that works, but it's true. And so now you're waiting for that moment to board the plane. Now, there is a moment of time when you can get on that plane. If you fritter away the time and you say, I got to go to the bathroom, and then, I see this newspaper or article over here or a magazine I want to read, or, there's something I want to buy before I get on the plane, and you fritter around the time, you may come back to the gate, and the gate may be closed, and that plane has already left, because that plane is not just going to wait for you. That plane is going to take off at the appointed time, and that's a strategic time where you have to be aware of, and you have to be cognizant of that. You have to be able to get on that plane at the right time, or you're going to miss that opportunity. That's strategic time, and that's what Paul is saying here. He says, time isn't your side. You know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we believed. Paul continues in verse 12, and he says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. I love that. It's like if you had a pair of dirty, smelly clothes on and you're walking around and you know you stink and people are telling you you stink, you know, wouldn't you want to do something about it? It says, remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, and we must live decent lives for all to see. So since we belong to the day and not to the night, what kind of life should we live? Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity or immoral living or quarreling or jealousy. That's what people of the dark side live on. That's where people who are outside God's family, that's what they do. In the Message by Eugene Peterson, he puts the verse this way. He says, we can't afford to waste a minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours. Don't squander them in frivolity and indulgence, sleeping around and dissipation, bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed, he says. Don't loiter and linger. Does that describe the life of a lot of people, just loitering and laying around? Just kind of hanging out without any clear direction, just looking up for the next series to binge watch on Netflix. Ouch, Pastor, you were doing so good. And now you've gone to meddling, and now I'm ticked off because you talked about binge watching on Netflix. Ouch. In Psalm chapter 90, the psalmist, I don't know if it was Moses or somebody else, but he said this. He says, teach us to realize the brevity of life. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom, right? So how do you do it? I mean, Paul says, how do you do that? If the time is short, if you got to take advantage of the Kairos time that God is giving us, if you want to be somewhere you want to be in 5 years instead of dissipating and be somewhere you don't want to be in 5 years, you've got to do the right thing. You've got to make choices in this moment because the choices you make today impact your future. It's like you tell the youth, you try to tell those teenagers, you say, guys, choose your friends. Choose your friends wisely, because when you choose your friends choose your future. So the kind of things you let in, the kind of friends you have, it's all going to influence you in the road and the direction that you go on in your life. So teach us to number our days, to realize the brevity of life, and that we may gain a heart of wisdom. How can you look and really be awesome in 5 years from now? How could you be radically transform your soul? How could 5 years from now you be so much closer to God than you've ever been before? Think about it. Jesus was only doing public ministry for 3 years. We're not even talking 5 years, just 3 years, and look at the impact he made. What if you gave the next 5 years of your life over to seeking to know God better? He promised, he said, those who seek me will find me. The problem isn't that we have unanswered prayers. You know, really, our problem isn't so much, God, I prayed and prayed and prayed and I never got an answer to the prayer. Our problem is more like prayers that we never prayed, prayers that we should have prayed and never prayed, and now we didn't get an answer because we never prayed those prayers. How much peace do we forfeit because we don't go to God in prayer? But what if for the next 5 years, what if you sought God in prayer? What if you sought him reading his revelation and trying to understand his will for life, for this planet, for humanity, where history is going, history being linear and not circular, that God has an end in mind? The kingdoms of this world one day will be the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what if you dedicated yourself to understand all that revelation by reading the Bible, and you say, oh man, read the entire Bible? Are you kidding me? I mean, that's a big, thick book. Look how many pages are in that thing. Well, if you just read, and this is how you break it down into bite-sized pieces, because it's the old line, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I wouldn't, but that's say that's how you do it. I don't know if anybody's ever done it. eat a 72-ounce steak maybe, but okay, forget it. I'm going down another road. So the point is, how do you read the entire Bible? You read it one page at a time. What if you read one chapter a day, one chapter in the Old Testament, one chapter in the New Testament? If you do that consistently, if you stick to it, in 5 years, you will have read the Bible 3 times. That's pretty impressive. 5 years, you could have a deeper understanding of God's Word. You could learn to respond to life situations just like Jesus did. Because what happened whenever Jesus was tempted? Whatever happened when one of his enemies asked him one of those, you know, life-stumping questions? What did Jesus always do? He always turned to the Word of God. He had the Spirit of God and he had the Word of God. And he always said, "It is written," or "Scripture says." The psalmist says, "I've hidden your word. God, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Right? You can't not sin against God unless you know what God's will is for your life, and you're not going to know what God's will is for your life unless you know his word, his revelation to you. So that's why the author was saying that. He said, "I'm reading God's word. I'm putting it into my heart. I'm putting it into my mind because I know that when the time comes, whether it's temptation or whether it's a test or a trial or something, or I need an answer on something, I need direction, I need to know what God's word says on that subject." So hide God's word in your heart so that you may not sin against him. You can pull a scripture out anytime, but it's like I tell kids when they study. I said, don't ask God to give you an A on the test. Don't ask God to give you an A on the test if you never study. Because what God can do supernaturally to help you is God can help you remember what you already studied. But God isn't going to give you knowledge and revelation that you never looked at and studied in the first place. Today's message, it's all about making good decisions that point us toward God. Let's get to 5 years from now. Let's get excited. Let's get joy-filled about the choices that we will have made. Let's make good choices. Let's make wise decisions so that 5 years from now, we're excited about the choices that we have made. Choices have consequences. You guys know that, right? Paul says that over and over. He says it in Galatians. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows," and that's, again, that's not needlepoint and thread. That is planting. That's an agricultural term. "Whatever you plant, that will you also harvest. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap." Choices have their consequences. So if you want to picture a better you in 5 years, then what are you doing today to make that person of you in 5 years better? How different would your life spiritually be if you were able to gather? For example, here's an idea. What if you gathered consistently together with the rest of God's people on Sunday and had an uninterrupted streak of week after week after week of faithful church attendance? What would your spiritual life be like at that? Because I know that for a lot of you, and I'm here just about every Sunday, so I know these things. And this church isn't that big that I miss people who aren't here. It's like, so you start to see, somebody says, attend, miss. How much good, how much of what God has for you, of what we prepare, the meal, the spiritual meal that we lay out for you on Sunday, how much of it are you going to get or how much are you going to miss, depending on if you're here or not here? So what if you made it a goal? Say, I want to make 48 or 50 Sundays a year. I'm going to give you 2 weeks. If you got to go to Lake Tahoe, that's fine. And I'll give you 2 weeks to go to Lake Tahoe. But that's it. What if you're here for like 48 or 50 Sundays a year? What could happen? What if you gathered every week with some friends in a life group and studied God's word together and prayed together and went through life together and encouraged each other and listened to each other and comforted each other and challenged each other to spurred one another on to love and good works? What if you did that consistently every week in a life group? You know, they say when it comes to habits, it only takes about 30 days to form a habit. Only 30 days to form a habit if you do that consistently, if you do it almost every day. So what could happen if you came every Sunday? Here's a short-term challenge. I'm not going to say, I want 52 Sundays a year. I want 52 Sundays out of each one of you for 2019. you know, I could ask the impossible. I probably won't be here 52 Sundays a year in 2019. So, but here's the point. What if you dedicate and you say, okay, for the next 5 weeks, January and February 3rd, what if for the next 5 weeks you said, I am going to make it a goal that I'm going to be here in consistent worship every Sunday for 5 weeks while we do that series at the movies, okay? It's like going to the movies. How hard can that be? So we're going to talk about a certain movie every week. We're going to talk about the God, you know, where God fits in, where his will is, where his story is in the middle of the story, because that's all really a movie is. A movie is a story about people's lives and what happens and stuff and what values they have. What did they learn? What did they feel? What did they experience? Where is God in the midst of that? So we're going to go over that for 5 weeks. What if you made it a goal to say, I'm going to be consistently here for 5 weeks? That'd be a great start. Let me give you today's message in a single sentence. And the guys in the room are like, finally, you know, what's the bottom line, Pastor? Give me the bottom line. Just tell me one phrase. Okay, here's the deal. One sentence, this message is, the ways you let in become the ways you're set in. You can write that down. That was gold. I wish I invented it. But I read it and I said, this is gold. I got to share this with you guys. The ways you let in become the ways you're set in. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, everybody has his or her own ways. You have your ways of talking. You have your ways of thinking. You have your ways of feeling. You have your ways of processing information. You have your ways of making value judgments on things. And you know what? God has his ways too. In fact, the Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways. God's ways are different than our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so the Lord's ways are higher and above our ways of finding out. So God isn't the only one who has his ways. You and I, we also have our ways. You have your ways of how you choose to react. You have your ways of how you choose to speak and to respond. You have your ways of what you choose to jump into and what you choose to hold back from. You have your ways of choosing what you accept and what you reject, when you're going to stay somewhere and when you choose to go. You have your passions. You have your checking account. They all speak of your ways. The way if I were to read your text message history, I could learn something of your ways, right? You say, well, you ain't going to read that. I didn't say I wanted to. I just said, if I did, I could learn about your ways. You know, you have your ways and I have mine. What I'm trying to caution you here is this. The ways you let in, whatever you watch, whatever you read, who you talk to, what you're listening to on the radio, what you listen to in a podcast, the ways you let in become the ways you're set in. So when you picture yourself in 5 years, here's the other reality. Because here's the future you. Here's the future you in 5 years. It's not just the same. It's not just you with a few more wrinkles, you with a few more miles on your odometer. You know, that's an easy way of picturing yourself in 5 years. But here it is. The future you is just an exaggerated version of the current you. The future you is just an exaggerated version of the current you. And here's the caveat to that. If you don't do anything different than you're doing right now. You live your life pretty much the same that you're living right now. You take in the same media. You read the same stuff or not read. You listen to the same stuff. You talk to the same people. You don't change any of that. The future you is just going to be an exaggerated version of you. I saw some saints here in the church pews at the 9 o'clock hour, and I was picturing two or three women probably at the ladies' Bible study at Life Group on Tuesday mornings. And I remember how kind they are, how loving, how gracious, how giving, how sacrificial they are to help other people. And I thought to myself, you know, where were they in 2013? They were probably like they are now, but now they're just an exaggerated version of that. Because if they are kind today, then they were kinder back then. Because those things only deepen. These things mature. If you're generous today, you'll be even more generous in the future. Picture a more generous person that looks somewhat like you, who's just got a little more leathery complexion, and that's going to be you in 5 years. That whether that's good news or not, Oil of Olay is going to try to fight that for some of you. But the point is, if that's on the good side, if you're kinder, if you're gentler, if you're nicer, if you're more loving, you're going to be an exaggerated version of that. But on the bad side, it works the same way. If you're harsh or you're cruel, or you're short, you're going to be crueler still. You're going to be harsher still. You know, this message is like, where are you going to be 5 years from now? Time isn't going to change who you are. It's just going to reveal who you are and make you more of who you are today, all things being the same. Time alone isn't going to change you. You're not going to say to yourself, oh, I'm going to be a different person in the future. I'm going to be different 5 years from now. Not if you don't do anything different. You're just going to be exactly like you are, making the same choices today. You're just going to be even more set in your ways, because the ways you let in become the way that you're set in. If you don't like who you've been becoming in the last few years, if you want to make a change, then you got to make a change in what you're doing today and tomorrow. You need to start making some different decisions. You need to start making some different choices. You need to start valuing some different things. You need to watch out what ways you're letting in before you continue to let those ways get you set in your ways. That's incredibly important. That's a biblical term. The Bible calls that repentance. It's you're changing your mind. You're changing the way you're thinking. It leads to a change in your action, and it'll lead to a change in your future. You'll become a much better version of you in 5 years. Let me just sum up what I'm trying to say. 3 points. You can write these down or not, depending on you. If you got a great memory, you'll just remember them. Doubtful. Number one, don't underestimate what you can accomplish if you stick to it. Whether it's a sport, whether it's a skill, whether it's a degree, whether it's a knowledge, whether it's your character, becoming more like Jesus in the way you think and act and feel. Don't underestimate what you can accomplish if you stick to it. Number two, saying it again because I want to let this sink in. The ways you let in, you got to be very careful what you let in. Jesus talks about the eye as the lamp of the body. You got to be very careful what you let into your mind and into your heart. The ways you let in become the ways that you're set in. And then number three, the future you is just an exaggerated version of you unless you start to do things differently. You want to be a greater version of yourself. You want to be an awesome Christ-like version of you in 5 years. Think about what you're going to start doing different. Think about different habits you're going to form, different direction you're going to go down. And then not just say, oh, I'm going to go down a different direction, and then the end of January, you dump it off at the side of the road like a lot of New Year's resolution. It's got to be like, I'm going to stick to this, and this is going to become a new version of me. This is going to be a better version of who I am because I'm sticking with this to become a better version of yourself. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And before we do, I want to invite the worship team for you guys to come up, because we need to have a word of prayer. And we need to ask God to come into our lives and say, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with us in this moment? Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful for this time. This is a Kairos time, Lord, where we have an opportunity to consider some powerful truths and what we're going to do with these truths and this wisdom that we're hearing today. God, we're thankful for every time that your word speaks to us, every time it opens up new insights to point us to a better way of living. God, you said heaven and earth is going to pass away, but your words will never pass away. Your words are eternal. And so these things we're talking about and considering today, these are eternal. So Lord, we pray that your inspired word cuts through our defenses, Lord, that it ekes into our lives, that it dissolves hardness in our heart, that it melts some resistance. And Lord, let your word quicken us to hear what you're saying to us, what you're doing, what you're inviting us to be a part of. God, we want to go in that direction toward you more and more. God, we don't want to miss out anything that you have for us in this coming year, in these next 5 years. We want all that you have for us. We want that forever. Lord, we don't want to ever look back at our lives and say, oh, if I'd only done this, then maybe I could have been that. Maybe if I'd only thought this way or decided this way, I would have gone in that direction. I'd be in a much better place than I am now. God, help us today to focus, to be in the moment. Lord, help us to be alert and present, putting on Christ and making no provision for the flesh. And so now, with our eyes bowed and our heads closed, we're coming to this end of a year in 2018. and the new year is just around the corner, I just wonder, is there anyone in our midst today, whether live here in the sanctuary or watching online, is there anyone here who just is saying to God right now, God, I'm stirred up by these things. I feel that you want me to make some new choices and some different ways and go in a new direction and stick with it. I want you, God, to help me to be who you want me to be. Lord, if that's you today and that's where your heart is, I just invite you with our eyes bowed, Lord, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. If that's where you want to go, say, God, I want to go in a better direction now than I've been going, maybe for the past month or a year. You know, I've got both hands up when I'm saying this prayer. I still feel that God has so much more for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And bless us, God, as we go on this journey together and become a better version of ourselves as we picture ourselves 5 years from now. And there's another invitation I want to offer today. This invitation, as we keep praying, this is going out to somebody who's never said yes to following Jesus. We're talking about choices today. We're talking about where choices lead us. And if the person is still here today that doesn't know you, that doesn't know you, and they're still far from God, they still don't feel like they're in a right place with God, they still don't have the hope and the assurance of their salvation, they're still looking for something to fill that aching hole in their heart, God, just remind them that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and we have life that really matters in Him, life that's going to go on for eternity in Christ. If that's where you are, I just pray that you will today, you'll make that choice to choose life, to trust in Jesus, who gave His life for you on the cross, who rose from the dead, who in not that long from now in the future, when every one of us passes from this life, we're all going to be standing before the Lord Jesus. God, we want to draw near to God now before this short life is over. We want to embrace Christ and let Him invade that rebel soul that we have. Let Him invade that with His grace. If that's where you are today, I encourage you to let Him in. Don't block Him out. Say, this is me, Lord. I need to make this decision. I hear God calling me now, and I'm saying yes. I'm opening the door of my heart to Jesus. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I've done wrong things in my life. God, I want to be forgiven for all the bad things I've done. Lord, I want you to set me free and give me a fresh start. I want to be alive, really alive in you. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming into my heart as I open it to you. Thank you for giving me a new pathway in life. You gave me your life, and I'm going to give my life to follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming in. And I pray all these things in His name. Amen. Amen. You know, last week we were talking about angels. It says the angels rejoice. Do you remember why it says the angels rejoice in heaven? Over what? Angels rejoice in heaven over even one person who turns back to God in repentance and comes to faith in Jesus. So I believe the angels are rejoicing in heaven even now, even today. So we rejoice with you as you choose to follow Jesus. We've got some next steps to help you follow Him in the lobby after the service. Please, if God has stirred your heart, you want to make that new direction, come and talk to me, come talk to Lisa. We're going to do that. For right now, we're going to close out this service and we're going to sing a song. So Mike, please lead us.
Amen. All right. Well, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Will I see many searching for answers far and wide, but I know that we're just searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we can say a word, because you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. Yes, you are perfect in all your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. We're love so undeniable. You call me deeper still as you call me, yeah, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
Praise to God. What an amazing opportunity we have to become the best version of ourselves in the next 5 years. So don't underestimate what God can do with your life if you dedicate it to Him in the next 5 years. God bless you all. Have a happy new year.
You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
Thank you, Lord.
It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. Oh, yes, you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You're perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
One more time.
You are perfect in all of your ways. So perfect.